Welcome to Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are diving into the NFC South now, the Atlanta Falcons. And I found some of the usage stuff on them super interesting. And like, there's a ton on Cordarrelle Patterson that's really interesting. There's a lot of stuff here that I think that there's more. I don't know if Marcus Mariota, Desmond Ridder are the duo at quarterback to elevate this situation, but I do think that there's more, some easy stuff too. 30th in terms of plays per game at 56.5, right? That could just go up. 21st in terms of dropbacks per game at 37.1. 19th in terms of design pass rate, we'll get to that in a second. 18th in terms of some of the pacing stuff, it's about neutral at the position. On early downs and neutral game scripts, Atlanta chose a more run-heavy approach than they were overall. Their pass rate on early downs in those neutral game scripts was 14th at 51.6. It's actually an improvement, though, where they were in the prior 2 years with Arthur Smith in Tennessee. Arthur Smith was the first-year head coach for Atlanta this year and came from Tennessee the prior 2 years. In 2020, they were 32nd in early down pass rate. 2019, they were 26th. So overall, Atlanta was more pass friendly than Arthur Smith's time in Atlanta, but being bad certainly improved their pass rate this year versus the neutral stuff. Really, I think, tells you what your identity of your play caller is and what they want to do. And then you're sort of forced to do other stuff that balloons up or really weighs down your pass rate, depending on whether or not you're winning games and the like there. So about neutral at the position, I think that's interesting. And then you get up and you're trailing. So you end up being top 10 in terms of pass rate there. Again, more volume here would be helpful, right? That 56.5 number really holds you back. Matt Ryan did pepper the short and the intermediate ranges of the field, ranking 9th in both categories. Again, that is 0 to 9 and then 10 to 19 yards are those two ranges. 29th in terms of deep passes and 27th in terms of passes behind the line of scrimmage. I'll give a caveat here. They didn't really have many good downfield options. And that certainly can cause a quarterback to not be interested in throwing down the field or be on a lack aggression. I think a lot of the pushback to that, at least early on last year, was Ryan's washed. I mean, if you're throwing to Olamide Zaccheaus, if your lead guy is Russell Gage, right? If your rookie that comes in and is playing wide receiver is really a tight end, you know, he's a hybrid receiver tight end, a good one. You just don't have a ton there to offer a quarterback in the vertical game. So that's the one thing with this offense that, again, can Mariota draw that out? I have some questions about Mariota, and especially with, I mean, Arthur Smith, let's not forget that Arthur Smith was the person that actually was on the coaching staff that actually benched Marcus Mariota in favor of Ryan Tannehill. So let's be careful on being super, super optimistic on this team going forward. I as I was looking at these numbers, the big takeaway for me is I can't get over that the market's potentially sleeping on Cordarrelle Patterson. Falcons ranked 2nd in terms of running back routes per dropback, targets per dropback, and yards per dropback in 2021. Again, this is a different offense than the one in Tennessee with different skill sets. This offense does not look like Derrick Henry. This offense is very different than what Derrick Henry offered skill-wise. You couldn't probably design two different guys than Cordarrelle Patterson and Derrick Henry. But what I appreciate about Arthur Smith is he's really leaned into his team's skill sets, right? What his team can actually offer in terms of an advantage over other teams. And Cordarrelle Patterson and some of the stuff they did in the passing game was one of those things. However, there's still a lot more to be gained here with Patterson. I'll get to that in a second. The wide receiver position had to be addressed. Listen, Atlanta ranked 32nd in routes per dropback and yards per dropback. I will caveat that to say they were without Calvin Ridley, and they played Kyle Pitts basically as a wide receiver last year. You end up seeing, you know, as a result of that, they were second in tight end routes per drop back, first in targets per drop back, and first in yards per drop back for the tight end position, right? When you're basically using him as a tight end, you're getting some additional work in there. And I think that that's one of the consequences there. So you kind of have to like side eye that a little bit and say, all right, like Pitts is a factor in why that is different. Overall, the team ranked 10th in running back expected points per game at 25.5, 31st in expected wide receiver points per game at 26.2, and then 5th in tight end expected points per game at 17.1. I think the Patterson stuff is really interesting. Patterson ran 245 routes in 2021. That ranks 2nd at the position on his own team. Mike Davis, in fact, had 313 routes to 245 for Patterson. And people said that Mike Davis was kind of washed. Begs the question of why that is. Well, Patterson had 1.71 expected yards per route run, and he smashed this with 2.24 yards per route run, both top 10 percentile numbers at the position. He was actually targeted on 25.7% of his routes. Of running backs with 100 or more routes, only 4 were actually targeted on a higher percentage of routes last year than Cordarrelle Patterson. CMC, Gio Bernard, Tony Pollard, Nyheim Hines. Really good pass-catching wide receivers. But it's interesting because passing game volume for Patterson, his routes 15.3 ranked 34th at the position. His targets per game, 3.94 ranked 13th at the position. Just think about that for a second, right? He ranked 34th in terms of opportunities, and then he drew the 13th most targets. That's a stunning indictment on his usage and endorsement on his quality of play. So I'm a big Patterson fan. He ends up scoring 22nd in expected points per game last year, but scored 17th in actual points per game. Remember, he missed a little of that time. Like, it could actually be a little bit better if you sort of take out a little of some of the injury shortened stuff. I didn't, because I can sort of kill you with some small sample size stuff that gets kind of annoying. But listen, 8.24 expected touchdowns, and you might say, all right, like, come on, Jordan, just get it. Like, a lot of the scoring was just touchdown based. Well, 8.24 expected, and he scored 11. So, again, he's over in both receiving and rushing. And you could say, all right, I don't expect a ton more of that. But then you think of, all right, how could he potentially grow to be a difference maker, right? To be a running back 2 at a running back 4 cost in Dynasty. Well, it's just securing more of the receiving role, right? That's the interesting part. From weeks 2 through 9, he ran 130 routes. Mike Davis and Keith Smith during that time combined for 164. And all the other weeks, right? So weeks 1 and then weeks 10 through 18, Patterson only ran 82 routes compared to the 183 for Atlanta. That split there coincides with that ankle injury that he had. And we really saw them drop him in receiving work, which is odd considering what he has to offer as a receiver. Listen, I think there's a scenario where he can consolidate this role. I'll also say, Damian Williams, I think, is interesting as well in this backfield because, right, he could do some of this. And listen, if something were to happen to Patterson, if something were to happen to, Tyler Allgeier, all of a sudden, like, this job could really consolidate in a way that this was pretty highly valuable job last year, right? Lots of routes and high expectations at the position. I'm super interested in being in on these guys. I think maybe Damian Williams would be a guy that I'm particularly interested in from this backfield, and will work to sort of curate my waiver wire selections here over the next few weeks to make sure that I nab up any rogue shares of Damian Williams. Some other stuff here for Kyle Pitts I thought was interesting. He had 68 receptions, 1026 receiving yards, and a touchdown. His one touchdown held him back because he was expected for actually 6.06, so basically 5.1 touchdowns less than expectation. He ranked 6th at the position in routes and 3rd in yardage. So really did outperform his expectation. I think he's up there at the top of the position in terms of where you would select him, where you would rank him. I'll say this. I think at present, I have a better feeling on Andrews than I do on Pitts, like in this year and probably at least into this year. And I think that there's a decent shot for that he opens up an edge. Andrews does. And then all of a sudden you're chasing if you're Pitts. And yes, Pitts is young, but Andrews isn't like you're not talking about Kelsey, right? You're talking about sort of mid-20s Andrews. It gives me a little pause. I've talked about that in some other spots. It's giving me a little pause in terms of what value he has at the top, tippity top of the position when you're probably seeding some warp stuff already off the bat to a guy like Andrews, who's not that much younger. And listen, if Andrews racks up a win over Pitts over the next year, especially in like some premium formats, over the next 2 years, if he's a win out in front of Pitts, that's a lot of chasing Pitts has to do when Andrews is still in his prime. So that would be the thing that I would say about those guys, and probably the reason why I would have Andrews ahead of Pitts. But I understand the argument for insulation and the like there for Pitts more. He had a really good season. I think the big takeaways for me are this. I don't think that this team could be bad. I think I could throw it a ton. And if Patterson got a big time use of this, a big time grasp of this passing game usage, he could really be a difference maker. Same thing with Damian Williams, you know, an Algier to another extent, but he's probably already rostered coming out of rookie drafts. I think you're looking for Drake London. I think he comes into a good opportunity to take a step forward. There's not a ton there to stop him from doing so outside of his own play and some of the quarterback stuff, right? You're not putting him into an offense that's got Ridley and Julio Jones in it. Right, you're putting him in an offense that's got like Olamide Zaccheaus and Kyle Pitts. Again, we like Kyle Pitts, but this isn't like a big time headwind that he's running into at the wide receiver position. There's lots of opportunity there. I think the headwind for him would come from Mariota and maybe Ridder, right? Some of the volume stuff, the quality of the targets, you know, how good is Mariota? Is Mariota a great fit to throw some of the contested stuff that Pitts does? Or sorry, that London does? That would sort of be my overall question about him, more so than anything, right? I don't know if that's a great fit. So we'll watch to see how that quarterback situation unfolds. I don't think either of those two guys are going to be the long-term guy in Atlanta, but I do think Mariota's at least competent enough to not careen the thing off the highway, right? Like off the coastal highway off a cliff into the ocean, right? He's not going to do that, but I don't know if he's going to necessarily elevate this set of playmakers, or if they're going to turn this into enough volume where he can do so on a volume basis either. So that's the big thing there. Again, Pitts up at the top of the position. I'm hopeful on Drake London. I was a big fan of his, so we'll see how that unfolds. Cordarrelle Patterson, I think, is super interesting this year, especially in Dynasty, where his running back four cost, right? If you can get a top 20 performance out of a running back four cost, you've smashed the expectation. So definitely looking for that. And I think the backup injury away role is with Damian Williams is interesting. We'll see if Algier can consolidate that role. But I'm super interested on what Patterson could do if he actually can consolidate this job, which, frankly, there's not a ton of reason that they shouldn't do that, right? To have Mike Davis run more routes than Cordarrelle Patterson last year doesn't make a ton of sense for me. So yeah, that's overall the stuff at the position here for the 2022 Atlanta Falcons. When you look at the costs here of Dynasty versus Underdog, so the Dynasty market likes Mariota slightly less than Ridder, 34th for Mariota, 30th for Ridder. Mariota slightly ahead of Ridder in ADP at Underdog, 30th for Mariota, 33rd for Ridder. So I'll be interested in seeing if we can maybe pivot off of some Mariota stock here if we can. I had some shares of him. I just don't think he's a huge difference maker. He's fine in the quarterback three, quarterback four, something like that. But listen, you could get a second for him. That was earlier this week. Some poor fool did a Sam Darnold for him a few weeks ago. There's not a huge trade market there for him. There's seconds sort of along the way, but that was this year's draft class, a third in this year's draft class. So you're really not seeing a ton of market movement for him. It might be one of those things where you need to really wait until the season for that to happen. So just be careful on that. Patterson, a huge split between Dynasty ADP and Underdog, 47th in terms of Dynasty ADP, 32nd in terms of Underdog. So 47th all the way up to 32nd. Again, I stated the reasons for why I think he's got top 12 seasonal finish in his upside, in his range of outcomes. I just don't understand the lack of receiving work. Given this wasn't a situation where he wasn't good and they didn't run a ton of routes with him. He was excellent and they ran not a lot of routes for him. So I'm dubious of that. We'll see how that goes. And I think I always thought it was a little bit injury related, and he seemed to be consolidating that job when he got injured. So we'll see there how that goes along the way. Maybe they just like wanted to split up some of his work, and they just didn't trust Mike Davis. Right? That could be totally it too. So we'll see how that goes. But Patterson's role as a receiver, certainly one to watch for. Damian Williams, 83rd at Underdog, 83rd at Dynasty ADP over at AOD, and then 71st in terms of Underdog. Algier, pretty close, 44th in Dynasty ADP, 47th in terms of redraft stuff. Drake London, 14th in terms of Dynasty RDP, 36th in terms of Underdog, and then Pitts is tight end 1 in Dynasty and wide receiver, tight end 3 over at Underdog. I think this is a good watch team as well for a 2023 rookie quarterback, right? I think this team could be one of the worst teams in the league. They've got one of the lowest win totals, and they have a lot of they don't have a ton of solutions on really either side of the ball. They don't have a quarterback. And as a result, I think they could find themselves drafting one. I don't think their solution is on this roster. And if it was me, I'd play Ritter from the start to see what you have. I doubt that that's really what their operating procedure is going to be. They're going to think, you know, hey, we can compete, we can play, we know Mariota and the like. I'd play Ritter, get the answer to that now. And listen, if he plays you into a high pick, he plays you into a high pick, right? And I think that that's an organizational thing that you should be totally on board with if you're Atlanta. So that's going to pretty much do it here for the Atlanta Falcons. You know, I think the big takeaway, Patterson and the injury away running back, really the big things there. And then obviously, you know, London and Pitts are we like and are good, but probably more expensive than any conversations of adding them at present right now. That'll do it for this edition. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We will talk again very soon.